Hey, good morning, Cats of the Lord. And today, that was our Rise Volunteer Appreciation Dinner last Sunday night, and it was great getting all the different volunteers together from all the different ministries of our church all together at one time and one place. And it's always amazing to see all the different people serving from different ministries together. And I just want you to know, as one of your pastors, how thankful I am for everyone who serves in the ministries of Encounter. Now, today is a special day for us. It is what we call our Rush Volunteer Day, where it's a chance for anybody who wants to. At the end of our service, we have a bunch of tables out and names above the tables of many different ministries in our church family that you can get more information about and see if God's leading you to be a part of, to serve in this next season of our church family. So that'll be happening. I also hear that there might be a big game next Sunday. Anybody hear about that? Yeah, it's the Super Bowl or something like that, you know. So I know some of you could care less about the Super Bowl. It's true. I still love you anyway. I just want you to know that. Others of you, you just are in it for the commercials. Others, you got, you know, your team got wiped out somewhere along the way or whatever it was. I got to tell you, going into halftime last week, I was getting razzed very hard by a lot of people in my life. All of my loving Christian friends were razzing me really, really, really hard. But my team will be in the Super Bowl this year, so I will be watching next week. But I saw some statistics that stood out to me. They were pretty surprising. The average ticket price for the Super Bowl this year is $10,000. $10,000. I don't even know how to fathom that. A year ago, it was $9,000. And the most expensive seats in the Super Bowl go for $44,000 a piece. So I'm not even sure what to do that. And then commercials, the average 30-second slot for a commercial this year is $7 million. And so last year it was 6.5. The year before that it was 5.5. So all I have to say is for $7 million, those commercials better be very, very good. Now, God wants something other than the cost of commercials to be going up in this world right now. And it's something that I sometimes refer to as the grace of giving. And as soon as I say that, I know many of you are going to think it's all about finances. It really is about so much more than that. Because in the book of Acts, we are presented today really two pictures of the grace of giving. And one of the pictures understands the grace of giving that's going to be presented. The other one doesn't and is more focused on outward appearances than what's really going on the inside. One of the portraits that we're going to be given today is given by a man by the name of Barnabas, who is an incredible man of the Bible, and he understands the grace of giving in all forms of life. And the other example is really an example that skips the heart when it comes to generosity in all forms, and it's given to us by this husband-wife team by the name of Ananias and Sapphira, who we will meet today. And for me personally, when it comes to the grace of giving, I would tell you I've been blessed on all different kinds of levels in my life, both as a giver, when God brings needs into my life with other people around me, in being a part of the ministries of local churches that I've been a part of and all the different seasons of my life, and just experiencing God's goodness through all that and being a part of His kingdom work. I also have had seasons in my life where, in many ways, I have just realized that when it comes to generosity, I'm really self-focused. And sometimes God has had to wake me up in subtle forms, and in other times, rather surprisingly loud forms, to help me see the own selfishness in my heart. In other areas of my life, I've been blessed through the grace of giving from other people, whether it was financially or whether it was something that we were given as a family in a time of need. But also one of the ways I've been blessed by the grace of giving is so many people that God has placed in my life in different seasons who have invested in me as a child of God. Men and women who God has used their gifts and their time that they have generously invested to help me grow as a follower of Jesus Christ. Well, I shared a couple weeks ago, I went to seminary when I was 32 years old. We had to leave as a family, my wife Amy and I, a thriving ministry in Hawaii so that I could attend seminary in Oregon. And I always like to say this, we left two full-time jobs in Hawaii to go to two no-time jobs in Oregon. And God decided to make it interesting by throwing in twins a month before we left for seminary. But when we left Hawaii to go to Oregon, we had two really old vehicles that were not worth paying the shipping cost to get them from Hawaii to Oregon. And so we began our preparations. And after we announced to our friends and family that we were going to be going to seminary, one of the families in our church, a military family, they approached us and they said, "Hey, we are going to Germany for the military purposes, and would it be all right if we shipped our car to Oregon and you drove it for us for a year or more, and then we would get it back to you when we came back to the United States?" And I remember as this young man trusting the Lord for seminary with my wife thinking, "Wow, God, you are so cool in how you are going before us in this endeavor." That very same week, someone else called us and they said, "Hey, we just bought a new car. We have this old minivan. Maybe it would be helpful with the twins since they were just born." And I remember thinking, you know, after a decade of being a single man, being resisting all forms of minivans in my life, but when that blessing came, I received it with joy, and God used that van in so many ways in our family. And the grace of giving is connected to God's work in one life that turns around and blesses another life or lives for the glory of God, using their time, their treasure, their talent, and their touch. And so this morning, I want to look at how to experience the grace of giving in a greater way. And we're going to continue on in the New Testament book of Acts. And so if you would stand with me for the reading of God's word, I'm going to read part of the passage and then we're going to pray this morning. We're in Acts chapter 4, starting in verse 32. And this is what the Lord says to us through his living word today. "Now the full number of those who believed were of one heart and soul, and no one said that any of the things that belonged to him was his own, but they had everything in common. And with great power, the apostles were giving their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. There was not a needy person among them, for as many were owners of lands or houses, sold them and brought the proceeds of what was sold and laid it at the apostles' feet. And it was distributed to each as any had need." You know, before we pray this morning, today is also an important day for us because we're asking for your affirmation for some of our elders, the spiritual leaders who guide the overall direction of our church. They are my greatest encouragement as your lead pastor and also my first line of accountability. And I'm super thankful for how our elders serve tirelessly along with their spouses behind the scenes to just love God's church at Encounter. And today we're asking for your affirmation for Tony Cortez, Joe Panushka, Don Chambers, and Rob Gapper. And you can vote if you're a member on the way out. If you're not a member of Encounter, become a member. It's super easy. It's really an expression of relationship and that you're on mission with us as a church family. But I just want all of you to know, as your lead pastor, that I would be honored and thrilled if those men were affirmed today as we continue to trust the Lord together as a church family. Well, let's pray together today. Father God, I just thank you for this day and for all the people in the room, Lord, who really in many ways braved all the crazy news about this horrible storm. And God, we just pray for safety on the road for everyone, and thank you for those listening online and those who are in the room, Father, asking for you to lead us. We ask for an experience of your grace from your word today through your power and your presence, Jesus. And all God's people said, amen. Please be seated. Well, as we continue the book of Acts, it begins with two main events that have happened in the early church that have launched the people of God into understanding what it means to be God's church, to be the body of Christ. And they are two really big events. The first event was they witnessed the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The second event was they also were there when they received the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, when the New Testament church was formed. And in Acts chapter 4, verse 32, we read, "Now the full number of those who believed were of one heart and soul." And Luke, who God is using to write this, he's already told us that on the opening day of the New Testament church, 3,000 people come to Christ. Shortly after that, another 5,000 people come to Christ. We're actually going to come back to that passage a few weeks from now. And he says, well, now there's all just a lot of people coming to Christ. It's almost like he has lost count because there's so many things happening in the lives of people. And he says, we're of one heart and soul. And so they were committed to growing in the Lord together. Verse 33. "And with great power, the apostles were giving their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all." So the Bible says, with great power. This is when God's Spirit stirs your heart to do something, and you follow His leading, and as you follow His leading, He shows up with great power. He stirs your heart and then empowers you to follow Him in something. And so not only were they experiencing the greatness of God's power, but also great grace was upon them all. So not just grace, but great grace, an overwhelming sense of God's favor. And this is in the midst of persecution beginning for the early church as they stood up as witnesses for the risen Jesus Christ. And the Bible says, perfect love casts out fear. And that's how this group of people were living. This little group of people had discovered that God's love really is bigger than anything else in the universe. They had discovered that God's goodness is more powerful than human badness. That God's power to forgive is more powerful than the human ability to destroy, even in the face of evil. And as a result, there is this growing generosity among them, an openness, a trust among one another in the church family and in the relationships with the Lord. And at the end of Acts 4, they're beginning to discover the grace of giving, and it's one of God's powerful works that He loves to produce in us. And Acts invites each of us to experience the grace of giving first by discovering what you think you own is really on loan from the Lord in all aspects of life. Look at verse 32. "And no one said that any of the things that belonged to them was of his own, but they had everything in common." Verse 34. "There was not a needy person among them, for as many as were owners of lands or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of what was sold and laid it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to each as any had need." So there's this growing, open-handed attitude about everything that people had. And I want to just make sure it's clear that they didn't renounce personal ownership of all of their possessions. That's not what this says. It means they continued having their own possessions, but they didn't claim them as their own in the way they were using them in the world for the Lord. They were living as joyful stewards of what God had entrusted them in all aspects of life, and they saw their money and their possessions as tools to be used for the kingdom. And as a result, from time to time, people would sell some things like land to meet needs, which is what happens in this passage, in the case of Barnabas. And it displays how the more we experience the grace of God in life, the more that grace explodes out in different ways of generosity with other people that God has placed around us. 2 Corinthians 9:8 says this in the context of giving, "And God is able to make all grace abound to you." So how much grace? Just say it out loud. All grace. "So that having all sufficiency," that can also be translated contentment, "in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work." And so, for clarity's sake, generosity doesn't earn grace. Say amen to that, all right? It doesn't earn grace. Grace is freely given. It is all from the Lord based on what Christ did on the cross. But get this, generosity absolutely promotes the ongoing work of grace in us, in our walk with the Lord. It absolutely promotes the ongoing work of grace. One of the things that we teach here at Encounter is the principle of the tithe, where as a part of our worship, as a part of the grace of giving, God gives us 100% of what we have, and He instructs us in His Word to give 10% back through the local church for the kingdom work around us as we're growing in Him. And He gives us this baseline of 10%. And in our walk with the Lord, we're always either growing towards that or even beyond that as we're trusting the Lord together. And the practice of the principle of the tithe, one of the ways that God has used that in my life is He always keeps my heart tethered to His heart. So that no matter whether I'm in a season where I feel like I'm blessed with an abundance or whether finances feel tight, my heart is tethered to Him and the kingdom work around me, whatever my financial situation may be. And for me, in my own walk with the Lord, I would tell you that tithing has been a powerful and beautiful part of my walk with God. And this is that point where I give you full permission to turn to someone near you and say, "I love it when the pastor talks about money." Go ahead, I give you permission. Just whisper it to someone. "I love it when the pastor talks about money." Now, don't do that unless you mean it, because I wouldn't want you to lie in church. In fact, that'll become even more important in this passage a little bit later on. You know, we had an outpouring of generosity at our end of the year giving in December through our Abounding Best Blessings theme. And I want you to know that our ministries would not continue a part of God's work through your ministry of generosity on an ongoing way for all that God is doing through Encounter. And one of the things that we're looking forward to doing in our vision and budget meetings, which are coming up not too long from now in the May-June timeframe, is just sharing the many ways that God is going to use those blessings to expand ministry in all the different areas of our church family. And we just look forward to sharing that with you. Now, when Acts teaches generosity, we talk about the tithe, but in this particular passage, it is like the tithe on steroids. It is. That's the example we have in this man, Barnabas, which leads us to another way we experience the grace of giving, and that's by discovering the joy of meeting needs in the name of Christ. Look at verse 34. "There was not a needy person among them, for as many as were owners of lands or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of what was sold." And so the Bible says, this is quite a statement, there was not a needy person among them. That is an amazing statement in the context of all that's going on in the early church. You had all these people who were in Jerusalem when the Holy Spirit was given, who have now come to Christ. Some of them are from the region of Jerusalem. Some of them are from other places in the world. And basically, some of the believers who were from the area willingly and joyfully of their own accord sold some things in order to provide for others who were not in a position to do so for one reason or another. It was radical generosity produced by God-generated needs. And their growing faith gave birth to growing generosity. And, you know, as a church family, I would just tell you, we see this. And God uses things like this that really make a difference in the life of churches everywhere, where sometimes someone gets a bonus or someone gets an inheritance or money back on their taxes and they tithe on it. And sometimes people even give beyond the tithe because they feel so exponentially blessed. There's another way, though, that God does this as well when it comes to generosity, and that's people who are using their lives to touch other lives through their time, their talent, and their touch through all the ministries of our church. You know, I was thinking of some of the people, and there are so many, I couldn't even list them all, but there were two people that I felt like God brought to mind. One of them is Doreen Scampone. If you know Doreen, she uses her time to touch people with the love of Jesus Christ. You will find Doreen as a part of our greeting team on Sunday mornings, greeting people as they come in. You will also find her at our Moms Next meetings. She is a mentor mom to the women who are in Moms Next. She jumps into Vacation Bible School in the summer. She is an amazing example of the grace of giving, using her time and her touch to love people around her. Another person who came to mind for me was Mike Olge, all right? If you know Mike, Mike is a force to be reckoned with when there's a need in this world. Whether it is leading a sock drive
to help people when it is cold, to keep them warm, those who are homeless, or whether it's rallying people around him to go meet a need on some other place in the world, Mike is leading the charge. You will also find Mike on Sunday mornings at the Encounter Kids ministry called Light Force. It's our older elementary, and he is just investing in the lives of young elementary students in the name of Jesus Christ. He also jumps in Vacation Bible School with like 240 children as a retired guy. It is a powerful example of someone who is living out the principle of the grace of giving and using what God has given them. And like Doreen and Mike, God wants to unleash his grace in every one of us through our time, our treasure, our talent, and our touch as a part of his church. And through the ministries of our church, it's why we're having this serve rush at the end of this service time together today. But it's also, it's this way for us to use who God has made us and what God has blessed us with to be a part of something bigger than what we can do on our own as we're serving the Lord as part of our church family and throughout the week in all the different contexts that God has us in. Because when the Spirit of God invades a life, what inevitably happens is our grip on things and finances gets loosened, and our grip on sharing Christ and loving people around us gets strengthened. And growing in generosity is a powerful part of what God wants to do in our life. Now, here's what I've heard from people all the time. Some people will argue that it's easier to be generous with your time and your treasure when you have a lot of it. All right? That's the argument. The other argument goes like this. It's actually easier to be generous with your time and your treasure when you have less of it. But what God is saying in this passage is it's not about having more or having less. It's about experiencing his grace and walking with him in whatever circumstance we're in right now. I told you about that military family who gave me their vehicle when they went to Germany. It makes it sound like they gave me a tank or something. It wasn't a tank. It wasn't a military Jeep. I think it was a Honda, if I remember correctly. And that year passed, and we began to wonder. We were in Oregon. I was going to seminary, and we began to wonder, like, are they going to ask for it back? And eventually, a few months after the year passed, they contacted us and needed the car back, and we told them thank you. Inside, we were thinking, oh, what are we going to do now? You know, Amy was working a part-time job. She had the young twins, and I was commuting to school and working part-time work, going to school full-time. And I'll tell you, God was so good. He was so good. The very week that that family called us to get their car back, someone else called me. They said, John, I just bought a car. Would you like our old Celica? And I said, did someone tell you that we just lost a vehicle? And they said, no, I just felt like God put you guys on our mind, and we said, thank you, Lord. Thank you for your provision as we follow you. Now look at verse 35. And they brought the proceeds of what was sold and laid it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to each as any had need. Now that phrase, and they laid it at the apostles' feet, is an incredibly important phrase. It's this complete release of control of what they were giving and how it was going to be used. They basically came to the apostles and they said, hey, you guys know where the need is the greatest. We don't know where it is. So we're going to give this to you and you disperse it as the need is out there within the church. And the leaders distributed it. And underneath that statement is this incredible statement of trust. And it's super important. And also, right here in the passage, we are introduced to this incredible man of the Bible by the name of Barnabas. This is what we read in verse 36. Thus Joseph, who was also called by the apostles Barnabas, which means son of encouragement, a Levite, a native of Cyprus, sold a field that belonged to him and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. And there's that phrase again. He laid it at the apostles' feet. That's what Barnabas did. And this is the first mention of Barnabas in the Bible, in the book of Acts. And he is going to become this great, great leader in the early church. He's from the tribe of Levi, we're told. We're also told he comes from this, he's a native of the area of Cyprus, which was this region that had a lot of people of Jewish descent. And Barnabas is going to become known as an encourager in the church. And we're going to find him over and over again. He's always got his arm around someone. He's always lifting them up in the Lord, lifting them up in life. And Luke in the book of Acts says, Barnabas sells this piece of property and gives all the proceeds to the apostles and tells them to go and meet needs as is needed in the church. And that's what they do. But here's what I find fascinating, and this hit me so hard this week. And that is, before Barnabas was a leader, even before he's a servant, he's a giver. God's grace was flowing from one area of his life to the next, but in his generosity was this trust of the spiritual leadership of the early church that he was a part of. I want you to know, as a church family, that for us as a church at Encounter, that when it comes to the handling of what you entrust to us through all the ministries of our church, that we have what I like to call safeguards or firewalls, if you will, in the financial processes that we use for money handling, check writing, and accounting in order to keep our financial integrity high as a church family. It ends up taking longer, but it keeps the integrity higher as a church. The other thing that we are blessed with as a church family is this amazing finance team with people like Judy and Victoria and Kellyanne, who are just an amazing part of our preschool and our church and helping with all the business things. In fact, I think we could give them a hand because they're hardly ever mentioned. So, finally, we also experience the grace of giving by discovering that growing in the grace of giving is really about the position of our heart and not the actual acts of generosity. Look at chapter 5, verse 1. But a man named Ananias, with his wife Sapphira, sold a piece of property, and with his wife's knowledge, he kept back for himself some of the proceeds and brought only a part of it and laid it at the apostles' feet. So, follow the events. Barnabas sells a piece of property and gives all of it to the church, and the church is blessed. Ananias, hey, Doreen is right there. I was looking for you earlier. There she is. I was talking about you and didn't know you were in the room. We were so thankful for you. But Ananias and Sapphira also owned a piece of property, but they intentionally decide to overrepresent their gift. So they say they're giving everything, but they're not really giving everything. And their error isn't that they didn't give enough. It's that they were deceptive. And God uses Peter to make it clear that you really can't fool the Lord in any aspect of life. Look at verse 3. And Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and to keep back for yourself part of the proceeds of the land? Well, it remained unsold. Did it not remain your own? And Peter's like, Ananias, you could have done whatever you wanted with your property and the sale of the proceeds. You didn't need to do this. And he continues, middle of verse 4. And after it was sold, was it not at your disposal? Peter goes, you could have given 75%. You could have given 50%. You could have given 2%. You could have done zero, and it all would have been good. You didn't need to do this. And Peter, led by God, he points Ananias to the issue. He says, why is it that you have contrived this deed in your heart? And this is that place for me, as I'm reading this, I go, ho, ho, ho. Oh, the little things that go on in our hearts with our financial dealings before the Lord. Can you just say amen with me, just to be a little honest this morning? Like, we all wrestle with this on some level. And here's the key. You have not lied to men, but to God. And Peter says, the deal isn't that you're lying to us. The deal is that you're lying to the Lord. And he says in verse 5, and when Ananias heard these words, he fell down and breathed his last, and great fear came upon all who heard of it. And so Ananias keeling over right there, if that's not strange enough, it gets even stranger, because these young men come into the church that day and they take Ananias out. He's dead at this point, and they bury him. And about 3 hours later, Sapphira, his wife, comes in, not knowing what happened to Ananias. And Peter gives Sapphira grace upon grace to come clean, but she doesn't. And she keels over right in the moment. And these young men come back in and they take Sapphira out and they bury her body. I mean, talk about a strange day at church. Can you imagine going to the grocery store after church and running into someone who wasn't there that day and they say, hey, how was church today? You'd be like, it was really strange today. And I'm thinking as I see all this, this is not a great church growth strategy for the early church, having people queue over left and right. But two times, God tells us the impact of all this that's happening. And it was great fear. Verse 11, and great fear came upon the whole church and upon all who heard of these things. And when you read this in the book of Acts, these events, they are so abrupt. They're crazy. They are in your face. They're even startling. And you have to ask yourself, why does God lead Luke to record this event with all of the amazing events that are going on in the early church? There's way more things that could ever have been recorded of what God is doing. And it's almost like just for a moment, God just pulls back the veil for just a moment and shows us the difference between someone who is understanding the grace of giving and where they are on the inside, who they are on the outside. And they're a pipeline. As God's grace is changing their life, Barnabas is expressing his grace in all kinds of ways. And we're going to see so many things beyond financial in the chapters to come in the life of Barnabas. In comparison to Ananias and Sapphira, who claim to be something on the outside, but their hearts are so far away from God's heart on the inside. And God is teaching us through them that when we open up who we are on the inside, the light of God's grace, you actually can't help but explode with generosity on the outside in your life in all kinds of different ways, not just financially, but with your time, your talent, and your touch. And in this story, we've seen great grace, great power, and now great fear. And God wants that fear to come into contact with his great love and to be cast out and to be replaced with a great generosity that is experiencing God's love on the inside and then expressing it on the outside with all kinds of generosity, where we realize we really are more broken and more sinful than we would ever dare believe before a holy God, and that our hearts actually can be a little selfish sometimes. And yet, we're more loved and more accepted than we could ever dare hope because of who Jesus Christ is. And when you live in that space, when you're in that space with the Lord, you can't help but be generous in all forms of your life. And my question for us today is this. If God's grace were to touch you in the depth of how much God loves you right now, right now in this moment, if you experience the depth of God's love and grace for you, what would he want to just explode in generosity in your life as a result? Would it be some time? Would it be some talent? Would it be some treasure? Would it be some touch on someone's life or a mixture thereof? And we're going to continue worshiping today, and we're going to do something that's going to feel a little bit funny after this message, is we're going to actually worship the Lord through giving and pass the offering trays and all those kind of things. And it might seem strange having just talked about this, but it actually is where we usually do it in the service. But I want you to know this. Every Sunday, when someone gives financially, you are giving of your time, your talent, and your touch. Because when you make money, you're using all of those things that God has blessed you with to make a living in life. And yet sometimes God wants that generosity to explode even further and move us past financial generosity to other areas of life generosity with our time and talent and touch and other ways. And that's why we're doing this Serve Rush today. And maybe the best offering you could give to the Lord today isn't money. Maybe your best offering today is to sign up as a part of one of these ministries and experience God's grace as a part of one of the ministry teams of our church family. And I'm going to ask the ushers to come forward, and I'm going to pray. And if you're a guest with us today, the best gift you could give us would just be to turn in one of those New Here cards and let us know you were with us today. Would you pray with me this morning? Father God, we just thank you for your love and your grace. And Lord, that you just love to explode that grace in us and for it to just impact us in our hearts on the inside and get expressed in all kinds of ways on the outside. And Lord, we just want to do that today. Just to bask in you, who you are, and then to share that with the world around us. We thank you for all your blessings, both financial and talent and the ability to be in other people's lives and to touch them. We just thank you for who you are today. And we thank you for how you're working through all the ministries of this church. In your precious name we pray. Amen.